Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Welcome to everyone watching online, which is most of you, and a few that we've got here in the room. So we're doing Parashah number 19, and it is, and Jot will bring it up on screen for us. Thank you, Jot. And Taruma, contributions. This is when there are, what was offered to build the tabernacle and all that. And Tamar will be doing the drash, so bless you, Tamar. Looks like you're all ready, so that's good. All right, if we can, let's move on then at this point in time. I don't think there's anything I particularly think. It is Shabbat.
It is Shabbat. Thank the Lord. It is Shabbat.
Angels we sing. And as he rains from above, may he reign in our hearts, our sovereign Lord and King.
Shiru L'Adonai kol ha'aretz. Shiru l'Adonai baruch shemo, b'tzru meyom leyom yeshuato. Shiru l'Adonai shir chadash.
Sing to the Lord, sing a new song. Oh, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, sing a new song. Bless His name and proclaim from day to day His salvation.
Shiru l'Adonai shir chadash.
Thank you. Spirit of God.
Adonai Elohecha, bechol levavcha, ubechol nafshecha, ubechol meudecha, ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, bechol levavcha. And if you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind, and you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And upon these two commandments stand the whole law. Love your neighbor, love your God. Adonai Elohecha, bechol levavcha, ubechol nafshecha, ubechol meudecha.
Yehovah is one, and there is one mediator between Yehovah and humanity, Yeshua the Messiah, himself human, who gave himself as a ransom on behalf of us all, thus providing testimony to Yehovah's purpose at just the right time. So let's declare our unity in him by singing the Shema.
Shema Israel, Yehovah Elohim. Yehovah Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod Malakuto Leolam Vayed.
Hear, O Israel, Yehovah Elohim, Yehovah is one. Blessed be his name. His glorious kingdom is forever and ever. Amen. Ve'ahavta et Yehovah Elohecha, b'kol levavcha u'v'kol nafshecha u'v'kol me'odecha. You shall love Yehovah your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And Yeshua said, love your neighbor as yourself. All the Torah and the prophets are dependent on these two mitzvot. Yehovah hu Yeshua HaMashiach,
Yeshua the Messiah,
he is Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Well, welcome everyone. I'm sure you can see us, and it's great to have Raquel in the room with us today. And so I'd like to welcome each and every one of you. Welcome to Sean and to Vanessa, Reuben, Hannah and Hava. Also to Angel, Elisheva, Gidget, to Shab, Joshi and Hannah, to Ronnie, to Yoli and Andre, to Shirley, Matthew and Leah, to our family in California, Kathy, and to Minister Elisheva in Trinidad Tobago. Thank you so much for your offering through the week. It was greatly appreciated in Myanmar. To Michelle and Joshua in South Carolina, to Brenda and Kevin in Pilgrim, Kentucky, to Victoria in Qatar, Kathleen in Kentucky, also to Michael, Melinda and Michael Jr. in Florida. In Australia, we'd like to welcome Heather in Perth, South Australia, to Annette and Chris, Michael, Diana and family, Jan and Betty and Stephen in Adelaide. Also to Katrina in Port Pirie, welcome to you. Welcome to Lucia in Victoria, to Ivan and Lucas in Victoria, to Lyndon, Leah and family in Bega. Also to Jan in Sydney. Welcome to Kerry and David in Tamworth, Sue in Maxville, Deborah in Casino. To Ivory, Rachel, Malachi, Micah, Gabriel and Zambia in Benalbo. Welcome to Roseanne, Bonnie and Rafia in Queensland. Emma in Gladstone, Stacey in Gatton. Judith in Ipswich, Joanna in Sandstone Point, Hinani in Sandor in Fernvale, to Sherelle and Colin in Maidenwell, also to Vivian, Diane and Daniel at Scarborough. Welcome to you, Melody, at Sandgate, to Joe, Yola, Yamina and Ella, Lonya, Yola, Yamina and Ella at Kalanga, Carol, Nick in Brisbane, to Harry in Brisbane, Philip in Brisbane, Haley in Brisbane, Ingrid in Brisbane, Usha, Isabel, Angie and Jacob in Brisbane, to Jeremy in Brisbane, Richard on Russell Island, Don in Canubia, Kelly and Bean Lee, Wendy and Peter in Logan, Shana and Michaela in Toowoomba, to John at Mount Tambourine, welcome to you, long time no see, love you heaps. Also to Daryl, Rona, Shana, David, Isaac, Connor, Faith and Gabriella at Coomera, to Naomi at Oxenford, to Irene at Talai, Beryl at, is in Western Australia, to Melissa at Service Paradise, Jeff at Service Paradise, Marianne, Faye, Carol, Erica, Lisa, Joy and Raywin here on the Gold Coast. So welcome to each and every one of you. We hope that you are all well and that you've escaped the COVID tyrant. And we look forward to everyone meeting together at Southport Community Centre next Shabbat. Can't wait. So let us bless the children. Mums and dads, get your arms around them. It's time to bless them. Abba Father, we thank you and praise you for our children. We pray that you'll make the boys like Ephraim and Manasseh, that you'll give them the dew from heaven, the richness of this earth, and everything they need in abundance. We lift up the girls to you, Aunt Abba, and pray that you'll make them like Sarah, Rivka, Raquel, and Leah, that they'll be blessed in every area of their lives. They'll delight on your Torah and meditate on your word day and night. Abba, we pray that each and every one of these children become like trees planted by streams. They'll bear their fruit in its season, their leaves will never wither, and everything they do will lead to success. Let us pray together. Heavenly Abba, preserve these children for their fathers and their mothers. May they be led into a life of obedience and faith through the care of our Shalakim. Blessed are you, Yar of Avraham, Yitzhak and Yaakov, who watches over these precious children of your servants. We ask this in Yeshua's name. Amen. Well, what's happening with family memos or mishpachah dinner at this stage? We're not too sure what's happening this in the fourth Friday of February, but we will let you know at this stage. It could be the 25th of February or the 4th of March, but we're not too sure. We'll let you know as we know, okay? Also, men's monthly dinner, is that going to be this Thursday, honey?
That's the 11th, yes.
10th, I think.
Yes.
Okay, men's monthly dinner, 10th at the Coomera, West Coomera, Westfield Coomera?
Yes.
Westfield Coomera. So, what's the news on that? Come on. I can't tell everyone if you don't tell me.
We're in a position where we can, without any vaccine regulations impacting us, we can go into the food court area and we can also order takeaways from other restaurants as a takeaway, and I think we can eat it together in the food court. And so that's the strategy that we're working for at the moment. I've yet to test the little... Hang on, I'll bring it up if I can on screen, but where we actually show that we're part of a vaccination group, and I heard from, vaccination control group, sorry, thank you. And Shab was in a position where she used it in her doctors and didn't have to wait outside amongst the unvaccinated, because she pointed out very wisely that every experimental experimental whatever it is drug test, you've always got to have a control group. And so what we're doing, we're actually forfeiting our protection, so to speak, from that to provide a global control group. And we have the digital identification on our phones. You can even get a card, and if they use the barcode or the QR code that's on that links to an international site showing that we are an approved member, verified member of that control group, and we are not to be vaccinated. And she used that simple phrase to start with, we are exempt. I am exempt. Simple. Okay. Take it back to Tamar.
So that'll be here to save any hassles at cafes at this stage, and we believe that by next month it'll all be over. So now can I say a huge thank you from the bottom of my heart for all those wonderful donations that came in that we received from you to help out with the orphans in Myanmar. We were able to send them $2,000 Australian, which was equivalent to 2.35 million kiat, which is their money. They were overwhelmed with your generosity. They thought it was a mistake at first, and then they needed our verification to make sure that's what we sent. And they were able to buy what I could see that they were unloading off the truck. On the photos they sent were at least 15 bags of rice and other food, and there was still more on this great big huge truck that they were bringing off. And these are at least 20 kilogram bags of rice, etc. So I've got no idea how much is in them, but they're big bulk bags. So that was enough to buy them food and have money left over for medications and for things as they come up later on. So that was a blessing, and they were blessed abundantly by it. So thank you so much, each and every one of you who donated last week. And that was all through by Monday. It was amazing. We really sincerely thank you. Now, as you know, the biblical festivals won't be starting till April this year, so we don't have to worry about them at the moment. The newsletter this week, we've only got one article in it, and it's actually based on the globalist takeover of Australia, which is not a recent event. It started after World War One in the 1920s, 1923 to 29 period of the Prime Minister at the time, and has been continuing until today. It is a really interesting read as how they've gradually, since 1923 to now, taken away our rights and taken away our country, taken away our citizenship, taken away who we are as Australians. So it's a really good read, which will help you understand why we are in the predicament that we're in now, because it's a globalist takeover. And the world is uprising, especially with these truck convoys that are happening all around the world, and apparently they're culminating in Canberra and have a big event this weekend down there as well. So let us pray for Yehovah's people, remembering that we're praying for each and every one of them in the diaspora as well as in the Promised Land. Abba Father, we thank you and praise you that you are Yehovah Zevaot, the Lord Jireh of hosts. And as believers in Yeshua HaMashiach, we lift up our brothers and sisters to you this day, no matter where they might be in the diaspora or it's Israel. Abba, you faithfully preserved your people Israel through so many tribulations, whether it's from captivity in Egypt and Babylon right through to this very day. But Abba, whenever your people have called on your name, you have delivered them. Violence has been perpetrated through terrorist attacks in the diaspora and in your promised land in this past week, and we cry out to you for your protection over all your people in all the conflicts that are happening throughout this world. Abba, we thank you that you remember your covenant with your people. We know from your word in Yekeskel that your people will live in the land which you promised your servant Yaakov, that they'll live in complete security and safety. And we know, Abba Father, that this also applies to the lands where your people have been dispersed into at this time. So we claim this word for them as well. Abba, we pray for your healing power to be on those suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, caused in any way by terror in which they live daily, whether it's in your holy land, whether it's from the adverse reactions from these vaccines that people are suffering from all over the world, whether it's from the wars that people have been called up to in the past 20 years in the Middle East. Abba, you know the people and you know how they're suffering, and we pray for your healing power to be on each and every one of them. We also pray for the salvation of our brothers and sisters, no matter where in the world they may be living. Your word tells us that you want none to perish, and we know from your word in Yekeskel that you take no pleasure in the wicked person dying, but take pleasure in them turning from their wicked ways, humbling themselves, repenting of their sins, and making that 180-degree turn towards you and obedience to your Torah. And we claim that for them today. Abba, we ask that you send your Ruach HaKodesh to have an encounter with them, as this is the only way you can heal them and bring peace to your promised land. We know, Abba, that it is your plan for all of your promised land, from the Euphrates River to the Vadi of Egypt, to be restored. Your word says your people will live in the land you gave your servant Yaakov, that they'll live there in complete security and safety. And we claim that for them. We also know, Abba Father, that it is your plan for all of your people Israel to be called to your promised land in your perfect timing. And we pray against the agenda of mankind to cause people to go there under man's will and not your own. Abba, we pull down the strongholds of the enemy through anti-Semitism, which is increasing in the diaspora. We pray for the protection of all your people, no matter where they live on this earth. We pull down the strongholds of the enemy over your holy land. We ask that you break the power of the Iran leaders, Hamas, Fatah, Hezbollah, the Muslim Brotherhood, as well as Al-Qaeda operatives, and we break the power of the evil one who continues to work at wiping Israel and your people, wiping your people Israel off the map. Abba, we lift up Pastor John and his family of orphans through his ministry of Adonai Child Rehabilitation, Kalamayo, Salagaing District of Myanmar. We thank you that Pastor John and his family and children are safe, and the extended family that are with them from the villages at the moment. And we pray that you'll continue, they'll be able to continue to praise and worship you on Shabbat once again. Abba, we pray for their continued protection, for their health, and all their sustenance needs to be met. We thank you for the ability to be able to bless them with food this week. And we pray, Abba Father, that they would use the money wisely during these turbulent times. Abba, you know their needs, you know their situations, especially now that it is too dangerous for them to worship on Shabbat. We also lift up the children to you who've now gone 2 years without any academic education. We know their situation, and you know their situation in their country at this moment. And we pray that your presence will be with them, your arms will protect them, and we pray that normalcy will return to their country very soon. We also ask that you give them the assurance that no weapon formed against them will prosper and that you are in complete control. We ask this in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Amen. So today we're reading from Parashah 19, which is Terumah, or contributions. We'll be reading from Shemot, Exodus chapter 25, verse 1 to 27, 19. And from the prophets, we'll be reading from Malachim Aleph, or 1 Kings, chapter 5, verse 26, to chapter 6, verse 13. The Ketuvah HaShelachim, or the writings of the apostles, we'll be reading from Messianic Jews, Hebrews, chapter 8, verses 1 to 6, Messianic Jews, chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, and Messianic Jews, chapter 10, verse 1. So let us pray for Yehovah's word. Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu melech ha'olam, melech ha'olam, aheh b'ka b'nu mikha ha'amin, v'natan nadu lanu et torato. Baruch atah Yehovah natein ha'torah, b'shem Yeshua Mashikenu ha'ol la'olam, amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all people and given us the Torah. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen.
Yehovah said to Moshe, "Tell the people of Israel to take up a collection for me. Accept a contribution from anyone who wholeheartedly wants to give. The contribution you are to take from them is to consist of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, fine linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins, and fine leather, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and other stones to be set for the ritual vest and breastplate. They are to make me a sanctuary, so that I may live among them. You are to make it according to everything I show you, the design of the tabernacle and the design of its furnishings. This is how you are to make it. They are to make an ark of acacia wood, 2 cubits and a half its length, 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height. You are to overlay it with pure gold, overlay it both inside and outside, and put a molding of gold around the top of it. Cast 4 gold rings for it, and attach them to its 4 feet, 2 rings on each side. Make poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. Put the poles into the rings on the sides of the ark. You will use them to carry the ark. The poles are to remain in the rings of the ark. They are not to be removed from it. Into the ark you are to put the testimony which I am about to give you. You are to make the mercy seat of pure gold, 2.5 cubits its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. You are to make 2 kiruvim of gold, make them of hammered work for the two ends of the ark cover. Make one kiruv for one end and one kiruv for the other end. Make the kiruvim of one piece with the ark cover at its two ends. The kiruvim will have their wings spread out above, so that their wings cover the ark, and their faces are toward each other and toward the ark cover. You are to put the ark cover on top of the ark. Inside the ark you will put the testimony that I am about to give you. There I will meet you. I will speak with you from above the ark cover, from between the two kiruvim which are on the ark for the testimony, about all the orders I am giving you for the people of Israel. You are to make a table of acacia wood, its length 2 cubits, its height 1 cubit, and its height 1.5 cubits. Overlay it with pure gold and put a molding of gold around the top of it. Make around it a rim a handbreadth width and put a molding of gold around the rim. Make 4 gold rings for it and attach the rings to the 4 corners, near its 4 legs. The rings to hold the poles used to carry the table are to be placed close to the rim. Make the poles of acacia wood, overlay them with gold, and use them to carry the table. Make its dishes, pans, bowls, and pitchers of pure gold. On the table you are to place the bread of the presence in my presence always. You are to make a menorah of pure gold. It is to be made of hammered wood. Its base, shaft, cups, ring of outer leaves, and petals are to be of one piece with it. It is to have 6 branches extending from its sides, 3 branches of the menorah on one side of it and 3 on the other. On one branch are to be 3 cups shaped like almond blossoms, each with a ring of outer leaves and petals. Likewise, on the opposite branch, 3 cups shaped like almond blossoms, each with a ring of outer leaves and petals, and similarly on all 6 branches extending from the menorah. On the central shaft of the menorah are to be 4 cups shaped like almond blossoms, each with its ring of outer leaves and petals. Where each pair of branches joins the central shaft is to be a ring of outer leaves of one piece with the pair of branches, thus for all 6 branches. The rings of outer leaves and their branches are to be of one piece with the shaft, thus the whole menorah is to be a single piece of hammered wood, a hammered work made of pure gold. Make 7 lamps for the menorah, and mount them so as to give light to the space in front of it. Its tongs and trays are to be of pure gold. The menorah and its utensils are to be made of 66 pounds of pure gold. See that you make them according to the design being shown to you on the mountain.
You are to make the tabernacle with 10 sheets of finely woven linen and with blue, purple and scarlet yarn. You are to make them with kerovim worked in that have been crafted by a skilled artisan. Each one is to be 28 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. All the sheets are to be the same size. 5 sheets are to be joined one to another, and the other 5 sheets are to be joined one to another. Make loops of blue on the edge of the outermost sheet in the first set, and do the same on the edge of the outermost sheet in the second set. Make 50 loops on one sheet and make 50 loops on the edge of the sheet in the second set. The loops are to be opposite one another. Make 50 fasteners of gold and couple the sheets to each other with the fasteners, so that the tabernacle forms a single unit. You are to make sheets of goat's hair to be used as a tent covering the tabernacle. Make 11 sheets. Each sheet is to be 30 cubits long and 4 cubits wide. All 11 sheets are to be the same size. Join 5 sheets together and 6 sheets together, and fold the 6th sheet double at the front of the tent. Make 50 loops on the edge of the outermost sheet in the first set and 50 loops on the edge of the outermost sheet in the second set. Make 50 fasteners of bronze, put the fasteners in the loops and join the tent together so that it forms a single unit. As for the overhanging part that remains of the sheets forming the tent, the half sheet remaining is to hang over the back of the tabernacle, and the single cubit on the one side and the single cubit on the other side of that remaining in the length of the sheets forming the tent is to hang over the tabernacle to cover it on each side. You are to make a covering for the tent of tanned ram skins and an outer covering of fine leather. Make the upright planks for the tabernacle out of acacia wood. Each plank is to be 10 cubits long and 1.5 cubits wide. There are to be 2 projections on each plank, and the planks are to be joined one to another. That's how you are to make all the planks for the tabernacle. Make the planks for the tabernacle as follows. 20 planks for the south side facing southward. Make 40 silver sockets under the 20 planks, 2 sockets under one plank for its 2 projections, and 2 sockets under another plank for its 2 projections. For the second side of the tabernacle to the north, make 20 planks, and there 40 silver sockets, 2 sockets under one plank and 2 under another. For the rear part of the tabernacle towards the west, make 6 planks. For the corners of the tabernacle in the rear, make 2 planks. These are to be double from the bottom all the way to the top, but joined at a single ring. Do the same with both of them. They are to form the 2 corners. Thus there will be 8 planks with their silver sockets, 16 sockets, 2 sockets under one plank, and 2 sockets under another. Make crossbars of acacia wood, 5 for the planks of the one side of the tabernacle, 5 crossbars for the planks of the other side of the tabernacle, and 5 crossbars for the planks at the side of the tabernacle at the rear towards the west. The middle crossbar, halfway up the planks, is to extend from end to end. Overlay the planks with gold. Make gold rings for them through which the crossbars will pass, and overlay the crossbars with gold. You are to erect the tabernacle according to the design you have been shown on the mountain.
You are to make a curtain of blue, purple and scarlet yarn and finely woven linen. Make it with kerovim worked in, that have been crafted by a skilled artisan. Hang it with gold hooks on 4 acacia wood posts, overlaid with gold and standing in 4 silver sockets. Hang the curtain below the fasteners. Then bring the ark for the testimony inside the curtain. The curtain will be the divider for you between the holy place and the especially holy place. You are to put the ark cover of the ark for the testimony in the especially holy place. You are to put the table outside the curtain and the menorah opposite the table on the side of the tabernacle toward the south. Put the table on the north side. For the entrance to the tent, make a screen of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and finely woven linen. It should be in colors, the work of a weaver. For the screen, make 5 posts of acacia wood. Overlay them with gold and cast for them 5 sockets of bronze. You are to make the altar of acacia wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits wide. The altar is to be square and its height 3 cubits. Make horns for it on its 4 corners. The horns are to be of 1 piece with it, and you are to overlay it with bronze. Make its pots for removing ashes, and its shovels, basins, meat hooks, and fire pans. All its utensils you are to make of bronze. Make for it a grate of bronze netting, and on the 4 corners of the netting, make 4 bronze rings. Put it under the rim of the altar, so that the netting reaches halfway up the altar. Make poles of acacia wood for the altar and overlay them with bronze. Its poles are to be put into the rings. The poles are to be on both sides of the altar for carrying it. The altar is to be made of planks and hollow inside. They are to make it just as you were shown on the mountain. Here is how you are to make the courtyard of the tabernacle. On the south side facing southward are to be the tapestries for the courtyard made of finely woven linen, 100 cubits, for one side, supported on 20 posts in 20 bronze sockets. The hooks on the posts and the attached rings for hanging are to be of silver. Likewise, along the north side are to be tapestries 100 cubits long, hung on 20 posts in 20 bronze sockets, with silver hooks and rings for the posts. Across the width of the courtyard, on the west side are to be tapestries 50 cubits, long, hung on 10 posts in 10 sockets. The width of the courtyard on the east side facing east will be 50 cubits. The tapestries for one side will be 50 cubits, long, hung on three posts in three sockets. For the other side, there will be tapestries 15 cubits long on three posts in three sockets. For the gateway of the courtyard, there is to be a screen 20 cubits long made of blue, purple and scarlet yarn and finely woven linen. It should be in colours, the work of a weaver. It is to be on four posts in four sockets.
All the posts all the way around the courtyard are to be banded with silver and to stand in sockets of bronze. The length of the courtyard is to be 100 cubits and 50 cubits width everywhere, with the height 5 cubits. The tapestries and screens are to be of finely woven linen, and the sockets are to be of bronze. All the equipment needed for every kind of service in the tabernacle, as well as the tent pegs and the tabernacle, of the tabernacle and of the courtyard, for the courtyard, are to be of bronze. Haftorah, Terumah, Malachim, Aleph, 1 Kings 5:12-6:13. Yehovah gave Shlomo wisdom, as he had promised him, and there was peace between Hiram and Shlomo. The two of them formed an alliance together. King Shlomo conscripted 30,000 men from all Israel for forced labor. He sent them to the Levant in monthly relays of 10,000. They would stay a month in the Lebanon and 2 months at home. Adoniram was in charge of the forced labor. Shlomo had 70,000 men to carry loads and another 80,000 stone cutters in the hills. Besides Shlomo's 3,300 supervisors who were in charge of the people doing the work, the king gave orders, and they quarried large stones, expensive stones, to lay the foundation of the house with cut stones. Shlomo's and Hiram's builders, along with the men of Gaval, worked the stones and prepared the timber and stones for the building of the house. It was in the 480th year after the people of Israel had left the land of Egypt. In the fourth year of Shlomo's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, which is the second month, that he began to build the house of Yehovah. The house which King Shlomo built for Yehovah was 60 cubits long, 20 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. The hall fronting the temple of the house was 20 cubits long, the same as the width of the house itself, so that its 10 cubits breadth extended forwards from the house. The windows he made for the house were wide on the inside and narrow on the outside. Against the walls of the house he built an annex all the way around. It went all the way around the walls of the house, including both the temple and the sanctuary. The lowest floor of the annex was 5 cubits wide, the middle floor 6 cubits wide, and the third floor 7 cubits wide. For he made the outer part of the wall of the house step-shaped, so that the beams of the annex would not have to be attached to the house walls. For the house went under construction, was built of stone prepared at the quarry, so that no hammer, chisel, or iron tool of any kind was heard in the house while it was being built. The entrance of the lower floor was on the south side of the house. A spiral staircase went up to the middle floor and onto the third. So he built the house and finished it. He put its roof on cedar planks over beams. Each floor of the annex surrounding the house was 5 cubits high and was attached to the house with beams of cedar. Then the word of Yehovah came to Shlomo, "Concerning this house which you are building, if you will live according to my regulations, follow my rulings, and observe all my mitzvot and live by them, then I will establish with you my promise that I made with David, your father.
Messianic Jews 8:1-6. Now the sum of the whole is this. We do have such a Kohen Gadol, high priest, who is seated at the right hand of Hagdolah in heaven, and he is the minister of the sanctuary of the true tabernacle, which Elohim has pitched and not man. For every Kohen Gadol is established to offer oblations and sacrifices, and therefore it is proper that this one should also have something to offer. And if he were on earth, he would not be a Kohen, because there are already Kohenim there who offer gifts in accordance with Torah, namely they who minister in the Eblum and the shadow of the things in heaven, as it was said to Moshe when he was about to build the tabernacle, "See, and make everything according to the pattern which was showed to you in the mount." But now Yeshua the Mashiach has received a ministry which is better than that, as also the covenant of which he is made the mediator is better, and is given with better promises than the former. Messianic Jews 9:23-24. For it was necessary that these, the representations of heavenly things, should be purified with those things, but the heavenly things themselves, with the sacrifice superior to them. For the Mashiach entered not into the sanctuary made with hands, which is the emblem of the true sanctuary, but he entered into heaven itself to appear in the presence of Elohim for us. Messianic Jews 10:1. For in Torah there is a shadow of the things to come, not the substance of the things themselves. Therefore, although the same sacrifices were every year offered, they could never perfect those who offered them.
Baruch Atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Natan Lanu Torah Amet V'Chai Olam B'Tikenu. Baruch Atah Yehovah Natan HaTorah, B'Shem Yeshua Mashikenu Ha'ol La'Olam. Amen. Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who has given us the Torah of truth and planted everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehovah, giver of the Torah, in the name of Yeshua, the light of the world. Amen. I have to admit that is one of the most difficult parashahs that I have read and read and read and still lack in understanding of comprehending how they put all those planks and everything together, but then not having any imagination or being able to see things unless I've actually seen them in real life, it's very difficult for me. But they obviously did it, but to me it seems amazing. So today I'm going to speak to you about the blood that went from the sacrifice at the altar to the blood that was sprinkled on the mercy seat going through that curtain or veil of separation. So let us pray. Abba Father, please open our eyes that we can see the wondrous things from your Torah this day. And may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be acceptable in your presence. Because you, Yehovah, are my rock and my redeemer. And I ask this in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. So I'm going to start from Shemot Exodus chapter 25 verses 17-22. And it says, you are to make a cover for the ark out of pure gold. It is to be 3 3/4 feet long and 2 1/4 feet high. You are to make 2 cherubim of gold, make them of hammered work for the 2 ends of the ark cover. Make 1 keruv with 1 end and 1 keruv at the other, and make the cherubim of 1 piece with the ark and its 2 ends. The cherubim have their wings spread out above so that their wings cover the ark, and their faces are towards each other and towards the ark cover. But you are to put the ark cover on top of the ark, and inside the ark you will put the testimony that I'm about to give you. There I will meet with you. I will speak with you from above the ark cover, from between the two cherubim which are on the ark for the testimony, about all the orders I'm giving you for the people of Israel. Now the ark cover was also known as the mercy seat, which is equivalent to a throne. But the issue of the mercy seat comes up in a very important aspect of the Tanakh covenant of atonement. In Vayikra Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 6, it says, Aharon is to present the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and his household. And in chapter 16 and verse 14 of Vayikra, it says, He is to take some of the bull's blood, sprinkle it with his finger on the ark cover towards the east. And in front of the ark cover, he is to sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times. The Ark of the Covenant was where the high priest sprinkled the blood of the sacrifice once a year and in the holiest of holies, and is when we commemorate Yom Kippur. The blood was taken from a slain bullock on the altar, made its way through the outer court, into the holy place, past the parochet or veil, into the Holy of Holies. This journey is a very important journey, as it's also our journey with our personal relationship with Yeshua and Yehovah. The Ark cover, to me, represents the throne of Yehovah. Cherubim and their wings overshadow the mercy seat or the throne of the Ark. With that in mind, we read the following in Yeshayahu chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. It says, in the year of King Uzziyahu's death, I saw Yehovah sitting on a high, lofty throne. The hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim stood over him, each with six wings, two for covering his face, two for covering his feet, and two for flying. Yeshayahu saw a vision of the throne of heaven. And just like the ark, it had seraphim or cherubim with wings above the throne. This also indicates that the mercy seat represents the throne of Yehovah on this earth. The throne of Yehovah in heaven and the mercy seat is the representation of it on this earth. Not only that, but when you compare the sequence of the furniture of the tabernacle listed in Shemot Exodus 25 with that in Revelation 4 at the time Yochanan, the favored Talmid of Yeshua, saw a vision from heaven, we read that the Ark of the Covenant corresponds to this throne of Yehovah. So I'm now going to compare those with you from Shemot and Revelation. So we'll go to the next slide, and we've got Shemot 24:12. Yehovah said to Moshe, come up to me on the mountain and stay there. I will give you the stone tablets with the Torah and the mitzvot I have written on them so that you can teach them. And in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, after these things I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice like a trumpet, which I had heard speaking with me before, said, come up here, and I will show you what must happen after these things. Both Moshe and Yochanan were called to a higher place to meet with Yah. And in Shemot Exodus chapter 25 and verse 10, it says, they are to make an ark of acacia wood, 3¾ feet long, 2¼ feet wide, and 2¼ feet high. And Revelations 4:2 says, instantly I was in the spirit, or the ruach, and there was before me in heaven stood a throne, and on the throne someone was sitting. This is, to me, just enforces the idea that the ark corresponds with the throne. And in Shemot chapter 25 verse 31, it says, you are to make a menorah of pure gold. It is made of hammered work. Its base, shaft, cups, ring of outer leaves and petals are to be of one piece with it. And in Revelation 4:5, it says, from the throne, came forth lightnings, voices and thunderings, and before the throne were seven flaming torches, which are the sevenfold spirits of Yehovah. The seven branches of the menorah correspond with the seven flaming torches in the throne room in heaven. And in Shemot 26 verse 1, it says, you are to make the tabernacle with 10 sheets of finely woven linen, and with blue, purple and scarlet yarn. You are to make them with keruvim worked in, that have been crafted by a skilled artisan. Now this thing that was to be made had the keruvim worked into it. So you had to pass by keruvim to get to the mercy seat that had keruvim on top of it. In 26:31 it says, you are to make a curtain of blue, purple and... It's 26:1. 26:31 repeats it. You are to make a curtain of blue, purple and scarlet yarn and finely woven linen. Make it with keruvim worked in that have been crafted by a skilled artisan. So Yah truly wants to get that across, that we've got to have keruvim worked into that with fine linen of purple and scarlet yarn. And in Revelation 4:6, it says, in front of the throne was looked like the sea of glass, clear as crystal. And in the centre around the throne were four living beings covered with eyes in front and behind. The curtains, or the veil and the keruvim, correspond to the sea of glass and the four living creatures. You had to get past that sea of glass and the four living creatures to get to the throne in heaven, as you had to go through the curtain with the keruvim on it to get to the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. So I can see a clear corresponding list of the elements in Moshe's experience and Yochanan's experience. We can see that the ark represents the throne of Yehovah. These are things to come, as we read in Messianic Jews in our reading today. We are being shown where Yah would rule at the time of Moshe and in the days to come, as he rules in glory, a model what was on earth was the ark with its mercy seat, and he told Moshe that he would speak or communicate with him from the ark or mercy seat. This is where Moshe would go every day to talk with Yah. So the mercy seat just wasn't for the high priest to go in once a year, because Moshe went to the ark every single day. It wasn't until the temple was built did they go in once a year only. Excuse me, I'm going to cough. Some people even have their own mercy seat at home where they meet and commune with Yah. The mercy seat was a place where you spoke with Yah, where you told him all your troubles, where he tells you how to fix them. It's a place where you meet with him and commune with him every single day. The receiving of communion is a very important issue in the New Testament church, regardless of its denomination. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16 to 18, it says, the cup of blessing over which we make the brachah Isn't it a sharing in the bloody sacrificial death of the Messiah? The bread we break, isn't it a sharing of the body of the Messiah? Because there is one loaf of bread, we who are many constitute one body, since we all partake of the one loaf of bread. Look at the physical Israel. Don't those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? The word communion actually comes from the Latin word communio, which means mutual participation. But if it is not mutual, if everyone does not participate, we refer to it in our congregation as the remembrance service, as not all participate in the service, and we respect each one's decision on that. Even I do not participate, for I'm restricted for dietary reasons. Communing with Yehovah at the mercy seat actually meant speaking with him, not just having communion. But the literal term commune implies a union or oneness and a mutual participation. Whilst communication is when your thoughts from your mind are put into the mind of another person. So the idea of a union or common union is involved. But that is on the condition that we are in agreement. So this is the term used in reference to the stake of execution. When each of us comes to the stake for salvation, that means we believe that Yeshua's death was for each of us individually and we could not be saved without it. We believe Yeshua died for us. His death counts as our death. So we participate in his death, so to speak. And Yah considers us to have been crucified with Yeshua. So we've laid down our life on the altar, so to speak. This is a mutual participation by laying down our lives. This means Yeshua would not have committed to going through his execution without us joining to it as well. I believe he did it knowing that some would reject him and not want to reject him and not want to come into union with him. And I'm sure we all know plenty of people who've rejected our invitation to join with Yeshua. Remember the bull of the sin offering. The death on the altar led to the blood being carried to and being sprinkled on the mercy seat or the throne. The blood of Yeshua gives us access to him. And he is the one who is seated on the throne that was seen by Yochanan for eternity. Adam was supposed to have dominion over the earth. In Bereshit, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, it says, Yehovah blessed them. Yehovah said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, and every living creature that crawls on the earth. But Adam sinned, and Yeshua saves us from sin so we can die with him, as we learn to die to self. This is that what salvation actually means, dying to self, putting others before ourselves. For this salvation to take effect, we need to be buried with him through immersion and come out of the waters resurrected with him, and then we are seated with him in heavenly places. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, it says that even when we were dead because of our acts of disobedience, he brought us to life along with the Messiah. It is by grace that you have been delivered. That is, Yehovah raised us up with Yeshua HaMashiach and seated us with him in heaven. But notice how Yah said it to Moshe through our Torah portion today. The mercy seat is where he wants to speak with us. in Shemot, Exodus 20:25-22. It says you are to put the ark cover on top of the ark. Inside the ark you will put the testimony that I'm about to give you. There I will meet with you. I will speak with you from the ark cover. Yehovah wants to speak with us. From between the two cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, about all the orders I'm giving you for the people of Israel. Yehovah really wants to meet with you. He wants to speak with you from above, upon the ark, on the mercy seat. He really wants you to come into agreement with him on the throne so that you can rule with him. This is part of your salvation. This is what he wants for you. This is how your blessings will come. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4, it says, "Then I saw thrones, and those seated on them received authority to judge. I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for testifying about Yeshua and proclaiming the word of Yehovah. Also those who had not worshipped the beast or its image and had not received the mark on their foreheads and on their hands. They came to life and they ruled with HaMashiach for 1,000 years. I'm going to repeat that. They came to life and ruled with HaMashiach for 1,000 years. They didn't just spend 1,000 years with him on this earth. They ruled with him. We've got to get it out of our head that when Yeshua returns, we're just going to live with him. We're not just going to live with him, we're going to rule with him. That's what the word says. This is our kingdom authority. This is us having taking dominion back and ruling with the Messiah. I think many of Yah's people are lost somewhere between the altar where the blood was shed and the ark where it was sprinkled. They really did come into union with Yeshua HaMashiach's death. They made a commitment to Yeshua and are saved. But they have not yet come to the mercy seat in the throne room. They're still in limbo between. In Messianic Jews, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "Therefore let us confidently approach the throne from which Yehovah gives grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need." We must have confidence to walk in there with the authority given to us through Yeshua HaMashiach, to talk with Yehovah, to be with him and receive his grace. Notice both the throne and the mercy are mentioned in one place. Some people are not coming to the throne to obtain mercy. Similarly, some believers are not coming to the full maturity in the Ruach or the Spirit of enjoying their seating with Yeshua HaMashiach. And here are some reasons. They all revolve around being over self-concerned and not concerned enough about the bigger issue of the body of Yeshua HaMashiach. They are still in the I or me way of living. Both in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and chapter 11, both of these chapters speak of the cup of blessing that we hold dear in our time of remembrance, as we read earlier. And I'll read it again in 1 Corinthians 10:16-18. It says, "The cup of blessing over which we make the brakah, that is the blessing, isn't it a sharing in the bloody sacrificial death of the Messiah? The bread we break, isn't it a sharing of the body of the Messiah? Because there is one loaf of bread, we who are many constitute one body, since we partake of the one loaf. Look at physical Israel. Don't those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar?" Many partake of the altar. I propose Yehovah wants you to progress from the altar and start to partake in the throne. Yeshua's body is represented by the loaf of challah. Before COVID, we would all come to the table that held the bread of presence and partake of one loaf. We had to change that to many loaves for hygiene and social distancing purposes. Yeshua took the bread and he broke it, meaning it started out as one loaf, and each Talmud or disciple ate a piece of that loaf. They each came to the same loaf, broke it, and put a piece of it in them. Once the bread was fully eaten, the loaf was not gone. It was within them. It was still there, in their presence. It was in them. It was simply one, it was simply only found when the Talmudim who ate it were together. Together, they were one loaf. Similarly, Yeshua died and was broken. Not a bone of his body was broken, but he was broken in death. And each of us came to that breaking and were immersed into that death. We were then made part of his body. We are one in Yeshua, or one body. Then in chapter 11 of Corinthians, we read, they were eating communally in Corinth and lost the meaning of the one loaf. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 20 to 22, it says, "Thus, when you gather together, is not to eat a meal of the Lord, because as you eat your meal, each one goes ahead on his own, so that one stays hungry while another is already drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or are you trying to show your contempt for Yehovah's messianic community and embarrass those who are poor? What am I supposed to say to you? Am I supposed to praise you? Well, for this I don't praise you." And from verse 23 to 26, Shaul recounts what Yeshua said about the bread and the wine. And he explains the communion is not just a meal, but it is a message. It is teaching us unity. The people of Corinth were not having a remembrance of the Lord's Supper or Yeshua's last meal by the way they acted during that time and the way they treated each other. While they were fighting and not waiting for each other to eat together, communion or common union was supposed to represent how they were one body. After their fighting and envy was destroying the whole point of the meal while they ate the meal. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 3, it says, "As for me, brothers, I couldn't talk to you as spiritual people, but as worldly people, as babies, so far as experience with HaMashiach is concerned. I gave you milk, not solid food, because you were not ready for it yet. But you aren't ready for it now either, for you are still worldly. Obviously, from all the jealousy and quarreling among you, that you are worldly and living by merely human standards." Notice Shaul said he could not speak to them spiritually. They were still in the world. This is not uncommon to this day, even among the people who come to Beit Gan Eden and who have sat under our teaching maybe for decades. Yehovah said he would communicate with Moshe at the mercy seat. Behind the veil was where their communications were to take place. But many of Yah's people never learned union or oneness in a body and are too concerned about themselves. When one is too concerned for themselves, they will work through strife and envy. We need to let go of the self. Let go, and then the striving and the envy will go. Yehovah wants to give them the hidden manna, but he can't while they are so immersed in themselves. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17, it says, "Those who have ears, let them hear that what the Ruach is saying to the Messianic communities. To him winning the victory, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone on which is written a new name that nobody knows except the one receiving it. Messianic Jews chapter Hebrews chapter 9 verse 4 says, which had the golden altar for burning incense and the Ark of the Covenant, entirely covered with a gold. In the Ark was the gold jar containing the manna, Aharon's red rod that sprouted, and stone tablets of a covenant. The manna was hidden because it was in the Ark. They couldn't see it. It was already in the Ark, under the mercy seat and behind the veil. Notice what we read of the adversary's throne when speaking of the community at Pergamum. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 13, Yehovah says, I know where you are living, there where the adversary's throne is, yet you are holding on to my name. You did not deny trusting me, even at the time when my faithful witness Antipas was put to death in your town, there where the adversary lives. The Messianic community was told they would eat hidden manna if they overcame. Manna was beneath the mercy seat of Yehovah and is still there to this very day. In Yochanan and John chapter 6 verses 31 to 35 it says, our fathers ate manna in the desert. As it says in the Tanakh, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Yeshua said to them, yes indeed, I tell you it wasn't Moshe who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father is giving you the genuine bread from heaven. For Yehovah's bread is the one who comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, sir, give us this bread from now on. And Yeshua answered, I am the bread which is life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever trusts in me will never be thirsty. We all know where Yeshua was born. He was born in Beit Lechem. Beit Lechem in English means house of bread. And he, as he has just said, is the bread of life. In Yochanan chapter 9, 6 and verse 49 to 51, it says, your fathers ate the manna in the desert and they died. But the bread that comes down from heaven is such that a person may eat it and not die. I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. Furthermore, the bread that I will give is my own flesh. I will give it for the life of the world. Sorry. And in chapter 6, verse 53, it goes on and says, then Yeshua said to them, yes, indeed, I tell you that unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in yourselves. Flesh and blood was the bread and wine of the union we have with Yeshua. So eating manna is believing the truths of the steak. When you really eat of that union, or truly understand the union, that you died with Yeshua, you will not be so concerned about something that died. Your concern or self-ego was supposed to die with Yeshua HaMashiach when you accepted him as your Messiah. You are a living sacrifice. So you died and yet are still alive, since Yeshua's death was your sacrificial death. Envy will not appear with someone who is a sacrifice. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, it says, for the Messiah's love has hold of us, because we are convinced that one man died on behalf of all mankind, which implies that all mankind was already dead, and that he died on behalf of all in order that those who live should not live any longer for themselves, but for the one who died on their behalf, but for the one who on their behalf died and was raised. Once we accept Yeshua as our Yeshua, or our salvation, we must no longer live unto our own self-desires. We must die to self and put our loved ones or our neighbour or those we come in contact with in our daily life first. We have to live for Yeshua. We need to let our lives be overtaken with concern of the bigger picture of our part in the body, especially our own messianic community. When you get upset about what people did to you, you are thinking of yourself. But if you live not unto yourself, but unto Yeshua HaMashiach, you don't care what so much about what was done to you. You move on and you let it be. The reason people are not ruling with Yeshua, because they are too concerned about themselves and the hurt they feel because of what someone else said or did. The sacrifice of putting others before oneself leads to the throne. You go from death with HaMashiach to seating with Mashiach. But until you get the idea of sacrifice down in your heart, where you lose self-concern, you will never get to the throne. Yehovah will not allow you into the throne room. The throne is past the paraket or veil, and the paraket represents Yeshua's flesh. When Yeshua died on the stake, that paraket was torn from top to bottom. Not from bottom to top, from top to bottom. Which means it was the tearing of the flesh and the tearing of the veil were happening at the same time. In Messianic Jews Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 20, it says, "So brothers, we have confidence to use the way into the holiest of place, opened by the blood of Yeshua. He inaugurated it for us as a new and living way through the paraket by means of his flesh." As you can see, I didn't make it up. It's in the scriptures. His flesh was broken in death on the stake. If you truly died with him, then you must appreciate the death with him. And let your flesh rip as well. This is what it means to deny yourself on Yom Kippur. It was what the ripping of the paraket or the veil means. Ripping away the veil of the fleshly self and living according to Yeshua and his word through him to our Heavenly Father. To deny yourself food on Yom Kippur is so minuscule than to dying to self every day and putting others before yourself. That is what it truly is meant by denying yourself. Now, any questions? Okay, well, we'll move on to the remembrance service. Does anyone want to tell Raquel? Go on, off you go. I need a drink of water. "Hear, the days are coming, says Yehovah, when I will make a renewed covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Yehuda. It will not be like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt, because they for their part violated my covenant, even though I for my part was a husband to them, says Yehovah. For this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yehovah. I'll put my Torah within them and write it on their hearts. I will be their Elohim, and they will be my people.
See, Elohim is my salvation. I am confident and unafraid. For Yehovah Elohim is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Then you will joyfully draw water from the springs of salvation. Victory comes from Yehovah. May your blessing rest on your people. Yehovah Sabaoth is with us, our fortress, the Elohim of Yaakov.
Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Hamotzeh Lachem Me'en HaAretz. Amen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, our Elohim, King of the universe, who has brought forth bread from the earth. Yehovah Sabaoth, how happy is anyone who trusts in you. Give victory, Yehovah. Let the King answer us the day we call. I will take the cup of redemption and call upon the name Yehovah.
The cup of deliverance I raise in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. I call Baruch atah Yehovah, Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Berei Pri Hagafen.
Blessed are you, Yehovah, Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
Baruch atah Yehovah Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Borei Mini Besemim.
Blessed are you, Yehovah Elohim, King of the universe, who creates the various spices.
I'm going to ask those in the room to come and take a cup and take some bread. We thank you and praise you that we can come into your throne room and speak with you. We thank you that Yeshua died to self and laid down his life on that stake, which is the same as a sacrifice on an altar, had his body broken, his blood shed, so that we could enter into the throne room. Abba, please help each and every one of us die to self daily, so that we can put others before ourselves, put others' interests first in all things. Abba, we take these emblems now in remembrance of everything that Yeshua has done for us, and give you the glory for allowing us into your kingdom, and we look forward to ruling and reigning with him for 1,000 years. Let's eat and drink. Amen.
Yevareka Ka, Yehovah Yishmareka, Ye'er Yehovah Panavaleka V'yekhanecha, Yisah Yehovah Panavaleka V'yasam Leka Shalom.
May Yehovah bless you and keep you. May Yehovah make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May Yehovah lift up his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Our Abba and Elohim of our fathers, we thank you for the joy and rest which we have enjoyed this Shabbat day. May the coming week bring gladness and peace, health and achievement. And like the fragrance of the Besamim, we pray the days ahead bring sweetness to our lives and the lives of our loved ones. May the peace which we are enjoying this day linger until we gather for Shabbat next week. Now to the one who can keep you from falling and set you without defect and full of joy in the presence of his Shekinah. To Yehovah alone, our deliverer, through Yeshua the Messiah, our Adonai, be glory, majesty, power and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Tamar, you mentioned something about the 25th.
No, forget it. Okay. I've already replied.
Okay. Very good. All right, so men's night, Thursday night. Thursday night will be because it's the only one where things are open late enough. Otherwise, it all shuts down at 5:30 and that's not going to work. So, Thursday night, 5:30 at Westfield, Coomera, and we'll see how we go. I look forward to seeing you guys. I hope you can make it along. And
we look forward to everyone meeting next Shabbat.
Yes.
Back at the Southport Community Centre, 2:00. If everyone can get there on time, that would be greatly appreciated. And we look forward to soon getting back to normal. I'm believing that, you know, we're going to get to a stage where all the mandates are going to be stopped. And we can just get back to some type of normality. And we've got to believe for that.
Mm. Yes, I heard this morning the report from Canada and what they were saying, and they were pointing out that there's a whole series of countries now in Europe, and they listed them all, who have completely abandoned all of the COVID regulations, rules,
vaccine passports, everything. There's 11 countries, including Israel.
And the financial involvement and corruption is also coming to the fore, and the connections are being made. And
fly.
So we're looking forward. It takes time, and it will, because this thing, this evil empire that's been created, goes way, way back. It goes back to had its origins in Babylon when they decided not to spread out all over the earth but to build a tower for themselves and get a name. And and the way they achieved that and that centralization of control, it's just gone on and on. And it's all done with black magic. Okay, well, bless you all.
Bless you all. Shavuot, miss you and look forward to next week.
Yes, wonderful. And thank you for Dot and
Jacqueline for coming each week and
yes.
Coming down here and
special people, very blessed,
and helping us run. And it's been great to have different people here with us each week as well. It's been lovely.
Okay,
thank you, bless you, bye.
Shavua Tov.